I'd like to pick one phrase in particular out of that 18th verse. It is those words right in the middle of the verse where the Saviour says, He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want you to think today about your heart. And as I encourage you to think about your heart, I want to emphasize and make it clear that it's not so much the large organ, the large muscle in your body. We're told the heart is the strongest muscle in the body, but it's not that large muscle in your body that's responsible for the pumping of your blood around your veins and arteries. That's not what I want you to think about. It is the seat of your emotions, the seat of your feelings. And that is something that is entirely different. But I want to make it clear at the outset of the message that that is often what the Bible means. That is often what the Bible is referring to when it speaks about the heart of men and women. And it does that on nearly 300 occasions right throughout the Scriptures. So let me make it clear, that is what our text is referring to when it talks here about healing the brokenhearted. It's the spiritual part of you where your emotions and where your desires all reside and dwell. Remember that God is a heart. The Bible teaches that very clear, that truth very plainly. The Scriptures tell us of David. He's described as the man after God's own heart. Think as well of what Jeremiah told Israel. God said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart. So I want you to see that. God is a heart. And remember that God is spirit. So his heart is not referring to something that is made of flesh. God's heart is his desires, his feelings, the emotions that he has. And those desires and feelings that he has, especially for us as his people. And remember, he has given that heart to you. Because the Scriptures teach us that we are made in his likeness. And that likeness is referring to the spiritual likeness that you have to God. So I want you to be clear today. I want you to have no doubt in your mind. The heart, as it's referred to in this text, is the seat of your feelings and the seat of your emotions. Sometimes it is said, we use the expression, I'm sure you've used it yourself, sometimes it is said that he or she has no heart. It seems that they're hard, they're indifferent, they're callous. All situations, they act in all circumstances, no matter how difficult those circumstances may be. They act in all situations as if they have no heart and they have no feelings. But the reality, men and women, is that everyone has a heart. There are no exceptions. It's just that some display their feelings more than others. Keep in mind that we're not all made the same. There is a saying that some wear their heart on their sleeve. Maybe you're one of those people. The idea of that expression is that they express their emotions, they express their feelings freely. But I want you to see, some display their feelings more than others. But what I want to highlight this morning, what I want to underline for you today in the meeting, is that one of the worst things that can happen to any person is to experience a broken heart. Just what our text is referring to. Jeremiah the prophet said, my heart within me is broken. Think of what Paul said when he was in Caesarea, speaking to the Christians there. What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? So there's two great men of God, one from the Old Testament, one from the New, and they knew all about this experience. They knew all about broken hearts. This is a tragic reality, brethren and sisters, and it's something that can happen even to the Christian, even to the child of God. And maybe that's how you feel today. That's the condition you're in, brokenhearted, as you sit in this worship service this Sabbath morning. Let me take the time to point out, the Bible speaks of a broken and a contrite heart. David, in Psalm 51, that great prayer of contrition, great prayer of confession of sin, he said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. But that is something that is entirely different from what we're focusing upon today. The psalmist in Psalm 51 is speaking of a sense of sin, of humbling yourself before God, of submitting yourself to God's will. And that brokenness of heart, men and women, is something that is necessary to blessing. It is something that is very necessary if our lives are ever to be pleasing to God. But by great contrast, the broken heart of which our text is speaking is that very serious situation, that serious condition, when your heart is wounded, when your heart is completely crushed, when your heart is bleeding within because of what you've passed through, because of how you've been treated, because of the circumstances that you've had to face and had to deal with. You may never have told it, you may never have spoken about it, perhaps only to the Lord, but today you would acknowledge you have this serious heart trouble. You're one of the multitudes in this world, and there are multitudes of them. You're one of the multitudes in this world that is suffering from a broken heart. A heart that no longer feels as once it did. A heart that no longer works as once it did. And if you are one of those people, I want to say to you, brethren and sisters, here's a text to encourage you. Here's a text to encourage your heart, your broken heart today. It speaks of the healing. There is the glorious possibility, the glorious reality of the healing of the brokenhearted. So let's consider this text and this subject for a moment or two together. Notice, first of all, the source of this problem. Notice carefully the wording of verse 18. It says, "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." There are some people, some Christians, some commentators, who want to limit the text just to the unsaved, those they call the spiritually brokenhearted. In other words, those whose hearts have been broken by sin, especially by a life of deep sin, a life of very serious sin. And if that is your condition today, if your heart is broken because of a sinful life that you have lived, I want you to know there is healing. There is salvation for you, and it's to be found alone in Jesus Christ. But notice carefully that the word spiritually is not found in the text. There is no such restriction found in this verse. The reality, brethren and sisters, is there are many broken hearts, and those hearts are broken for many, many reasons. For example, death causes a broken heart. The loss of a friend, a family member, one that you were close to, one that you love dearly, a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, maybe even a child. And they were taken away unexpectedly, taken away tragically, maybe taken away from you prematurely. And then there is the emptiness that that loss will bring, the empty chair, the vacant place, the fact that in this life you will never have their company again. Death causes the heart to break. So does disease or sickness. That can break the heart, especially sickness that is prolonged. It runs on and on for months, even years, and there's no prospect of improvement. A sickness that robs you of strength, a sickness that limits your movements. You can no longer do the things that once you did. Or maybe there's that very serious illness when the prognosis is not good, the outlook is bleak, that occasion when the doctor has to state with a somber countenance, there's nothing more that we can do for you. Disease is a cause of the broken heart. Think as well of disappointment. Isn't it true that life is full of disappointments? What bitter blows life can bring to our hearts. The way a child behaves, the way a child lives. Maybe the loss of a job, the loss of business, something that you had your heart set upon, and the hope is dashed. It can no longer take place. How relevant, how pertinent in that context are the words of Solomon when he wrote in the Proverbs, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." Disappointment, men and women, can break the heart. So too can desertion. You think of those awful occasions when someone that you loved, someone that you trusted, someone that you depended upon, maybe a spouse, a family member, a friend, another Christian, and they leave you. They forsake you. They leave you in a very serious situation. And at times they go even further because they turn against you, they attack you, they persecute you. David knew all about desertion. You remember speaking of his friend, his counselor, his advisor, Ahithophel? He said, "My known familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, sat at my very table, hath lifted up his heel against me." You think of how the Savior must have felt when he said of his disciples, "They all forsook him and fled." Here, men and women, are some of the things, some of the main things that cause the heart to break. The fact is today, the source, the causes of broken hearts are manifold. But I want you to be in no doubt that Christ can heal and cure them all. I want you to take hope from that today. It's clear from the scope of this text that he can deal with every broken heart, and he can deal with yours as well. I want you to know that. I want you to grasp today that regardless of the cause, that he has the cure. His grace is sufficient, and his strength, his power is unlimited. So there's a little about the source of the broken heart. Think of the seriousness of this problem, the seriousness of the broken heart. You think of the words where it says, "He hath sent me." Those words give you an indication of the seriousness of this problem, the seriousness of this condition, the seriousness that a broken heart brings. How do we see it from those words? Well, for this reason. It was so serious that God sent his Son specifically to heal those that were hurting in this way. Let me point out to you, heartbreak has many consequences. For one thing, it can severely weaken you. In many ways, the heart is the source of strength. Therefore, if your heart is broken, so too is the source of your strength. You can no longer face life, all the trials, all the troubles, all the struggles, all the storms of life. You can no longer face those things with all of your hearts. But the most serious aspect, men and women, of this condition is the fact that it can be fatal. It's something that causes death. You'd be in no doubt of that. This can be a terminal sickness. The Bible says of Hezekiah, he was sick unto death. And those that have a broken heart, they too can be sick unto death. You may never have considered it, never taken time to think about it. But the fact is, there are many people who have died from this very malady. There are many people who have died of a broken heart. Multitudes have pined away in their grief and in their pain until they themselves have died. This is the very thing that has killed them. Many who have studied closely the life of Mr. Spurgeon believe that he died of a broken heart at just 57 years of age. The cause was the fact that in the downgrade controversy, the Baptist Union voted against the truth of the gospel, and they voted against the stand that Mr. Spurgeon himself made. And the most heart-wrenching part of it all was the fact that it was his own brother that made the proposal that day. Some of you here this morning are old enough to remember the events of 1966 in Aberfan in South Wales. A slag heap. A slag heap in the Welsh valleys is all the dirt, all the shale, all the shingle, all the stone and rubbish that's of no value that they brought up out of the mines, and they just stacked them up there on the sides of the valleys. And one of those slag heaps slid down the hill and engulfed the little school in Aberfan. It killed 166 children and 28 adults. They're all buried together in the same cemetery. It's a solemn sight just to see that row of graves. And one of the very striking things in that cemetery is the fact that near to those graves are the graves of some of their parents that died a short time later, their hearts broken from the loss of their children. And in some cases, it was the loss of all of their children, every child in their family. This is a serious problem, men and women. It's a serious condition. If we were to ask this morning, why does it become fatal? Well, it becomes fatal for this reason. Such people lose all will, all desire to live. They feel that they have nothing left to live for. And how wrong that is, men and women. I want you never to forget, whatever, no matter what you have to face in life, no matter what pain life might bring, no matter what you'll have to pass through, I want you never to forget that ultimately and primarily for the Christian, that Christ himself is our reason for living. Think of Paul's words to the church at Philippi. To me, to live is Christ. Ultimately and primarily, he is our reason for living. And as you think today of how serious this problem can be, what a warning, men and women, that sounds to all our hearts. And the warning is, don't neglect this condition. If you have it, often people are sick and they neglect all the symptoms, all the opportunities to have something done about it. Don't neglect this condition. And if you know somebody that has it, don't neglect that person. Don't neglect those that are found with this problem. They are in need of help, men and women. They're in need of care. They're in need of attention. And they're in need of immediate, and to use the medical term, intensive care. Do you remember the words of the psalmist? No man cared for my soul. Just think of that awful lament. Nobody cared. May God give us a heart that cares. A heart that sympathizes. A heart that empathizes. May God give us all the heart of Christ himself for those that are the brokenhearted. The seriousness of the problem. Think as well of the sorrow of this problem. The text refers to the brokenhearted. Does not remind us of the sorrow, the pain the person is experiencing, whose heart is breaking. Remember, men and women, that this world is a veil of tears. There's much to cause you to weep. Think that at the Passover, the children of Israel had to eat the Passover with bitter herbs. And that, men and women, is a reminder of life, the bitter herbs of life. The reality is there will be painful, tearful experiences. There will be bitter blows to receive right through life. But I want you to know that the greatest pain, the greatest sorrow that any person could ever experience is that of a broken heart. The psalmist said, a wounded spirit, who can bear? I want you to see today, there's no greater pain, no greater sorrow. There's no heavier burden, no heavier cross than a broken heart. There is no pain, no suffering of body. There is no pain, no suffering of the bones. However great, however persistent that may be, that can ever compare to the suffering that comes with the heart that is breaking. Mr. Spurgeon said, the heart is the center of sensation. And hence it being broken involves the acutest of pangs. You think of those words. It involves the acutest of pangs. The sorrow of this problem. You let me ask you to think about Jacob. After the loss of his favorite son, Joseph, the son that he believed at that time to be dead, and he declared, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Can't you feel? Can't you sense the agony of heart, the agony of soul with which God's servant uttered those words? And only for the fact that God himself intervened, only for the fact that God stepped in, the one that is the healer of broken hearts, that's exactly how Jacob would have died, as an old man with a broken heart full of grief and full of sorrow. And often, men and women, those in this condition, they feel that no one cares. No one knows. No one feels the pain. No one understands. But I want you to understand today that that is not true. Remember, many have experienced your pain. Many have had this condition. Many have had to deal with the awful agony that this problem brings. But especially I want you to remember that the Savior knows and the Savior cares. The book of Hebrews tells us we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Are those lovely words? He can feel your pain today, men and women. Why can he feel your pain? How? Well, for this reason. Because his heart was broken too. Psalm 69 is one of the prophetic psalms of the scriptures, and it says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. He is the brokenhearted Savior. He knows your hurt today. He can identify with your sorrow, and he wants to help you. Dr. Paisley, in visiting in the home of those that were bereaved, he generally always quoted a hymn, the same hymn, to comfort the hearts of the family. Is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts? When the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed? One who sympathizes with us? Who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need? Yes, there's one. Only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. When afflictions press the soul, when the waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. He's the one, men and women. The sorrow of the problem. There's one other thing I'll mention. That's what we'll call the specialist of this problem. Look again at verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want you to notice the emphasis on Christ. And I want to point you to him today, men and women. Can I stress to you, if you have a broken heart, don't try to heal it yourself, because you'll fail. In all probability, you'll make the situation worse. What you need today to do today is to look away from yourself. Look away from your circumstances. And you need to look away to Christ. You see, men and women, ordinarily, humanly speaking, this condition or this problem, it can't be cured. It's something that is beyond the ability of man. It is something that is beyond man's reach. But God. Remember those lovely words found in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul setting out the unsaved condition of men and women, and then he comes to the turning point, but God. That makes all the difference, men and women. I want you to know today, God has remembered the brokenhearted. God sent a healer. He commissioned. Think of those words. He has sent me. He commissioned a divine helper. In our medical system, we talk about a heart specialist. Maybe you're attending the clinic of a heart specialist. But I want you to know that there's none more suited to that title than Christ himself. So you be encouraged this morning. He is the greatest heart specialist of all. And he is an experienced doctor. Isn't that something that comforts us? Something that settles our hearts. You like to be in the presence. You like to be in the care of an experienced doctor. Well, let me ask you to think of his experience. You think of the multitudes of broken hearts that he has healed already. And remember that he has a 100% success rate. Because there is nothing that is too hard for him. Do you remember the disciples once asked the Lord, why could not we cast him out? The boy possessed with the devil. They had failed. The case was one that was too hard for them. But it was not too hard for Christ. And there is no case, men and women, that is too difficult. There is no heart that he cannot repair. He specializes in this work. And I want to assure you today, that he hasn't come to scold you about how you got your heart broken in the first place. He's not a doctor that gets weary or impatient as he deals with you, as doctors can and doctors do. He's come to help. And he's come today to heal. And he can do that, men and women, because he's the one that can see your need. He alone. He can see the extent. He can see the depth of your wounds, the depth of the damage that has been done, the depth of the hurt that you have felt. You ever think of those words in Psalm 103? I often read them with those that are unwell. I think there's a great comfort in them. He knoweth our frame. Knows us better than any doctor, any consultant, any specialist. He knows every pain, every infirmity, every hurt, every damaged part of your being. He knoweth our frame. Dr. Joseph Bell was an elder in Alexander White's Presbyterian Church in Edinburgh in the 19th century. He was very famous in and of himself. He taught medicine in the School of Medicine there at the University in Edinburgh. And Dr. Joseph Bell was the original Sherlock Holmes. Arthur Conan Doyle studied medicine under Joseph Bell, and it was upon the character of Joseph Bell that he based all of those stories about Sherlock Holmes. Dr. Joseph Bell had great powers of observation. He could see a person's need. He could see their sickness. He knew what background they came from. He knew their condition just at a glance. And because of that, he was a great physician. But I want you to know, men and women, there is a physician who is greater by far. And there's no one knows you better than the Lord himself. Do you remember Peter's words to the Savior? Lord, thou knowest all things. You know, there's a comfort in that. There can be a challenge too when we think of our sins and our failings. The Lord knows those things too. But he knows all things, every pain, every circumstance that you have been through, every bitter blow that you have received. There's no one knows you better than the Lord. And you know, he knows how to soothe. He knows how to salve the hurt that you have. He does that by his speech. Did you notice there in verse 22? And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. He wants to soothe your heart today with his words, with his speech. He wants to do it as well with his society. Because remember, he's there, he's present. The psalmist said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. The Lord's near. Remember that. Pray that you might sense it and feel it. The Lord is at your side. And the other way that he wants to soothe your heart is by his Spirit. If you look again at the words of our text, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. He's the anointed one. And what has he come to do today? Why is he at your side? He comes to pour into your wounded heart the healing oil of the Spirit of God. Who can heal the brokenhearted? There's only one, men and women. There's only one who can. I want to say this to you, just by way of conclusion. Let me remind you of the circumstances in which these words are found. Let me remind you that the Savior read these words at a Sabbath day service in the synagogue that he had grown up in the city of Nazareth. And he started his sermon that day after he had read the portion, and he gave back the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he sat down. And in those days, there's many examples of that in the scriptures that the Savior sat to preach. And he sat down and he started his sermon that day by applying this scripture to himself, and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day. And I want you to know, men and women, the message this Sabbath morning is as fresh as ever. It's right up to date. We can still say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What the Savior did when he was here on earth in New Testament times, he can still do today. You see, if you will let him, if you'll let him this Sabbath morning, he'll give you the word. And he will give you the touch. He will give your heart the touch, that healing touch that you so desperately need. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. May the Lord encourage your hearts today through his word.